That worked out.
Hey, this is John. This is Home From Here. Just two pieces of business, and then I will introduce you to somebody cool. That Best of Hudson Valley thing, if you can go on Facebook and click on the link and vote for me, that would be awesome, because advertisers like that. And the Lifted Project, April 21st, 1 o'clock, Paula's Cafe, Hudson Valley Regional Airport, Wappingers. It's going to be amazing. We're about half sold out now. So if you go on homefromhereshow.com and you go to the Lifted Projects page, you can reserve seats. It doesn't cost anything. And they're not necessarily seats. Some will be seats. But if you can do that, that would be awesome. Hi, C.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So I'm with C. Bronstein. And it's awkward because we see each other a lot, mm-hmm. but I begged her not to talk to me until we got here, which was awkward. But you did it.
I did it.
We did like 10 minutes of a show one time at the counter, but we fought the rest of it off.
Yes.
Okay. So you're a trainer.
I am.
A really good one.
Thank you.
The reason why I thought it would be cool to have you in here is your take on it is – so you work at Lifetime.
Uh-huh.
Part of the gig at Lifetime is presenting yourself on social media.
Yes.
And as a trainer, you want to present yourself as well as you possibly can. Except you're courageous enough to show pictures of you
yes.
pre-workout or mm-hmm. or in transition or however – I don't know what the correct way to say it is. But I was so touched by that because it was honest. And I'm like, you know, I have days where I'm not. So what's behind that?
So the idea behind my social media account started back in probably 2016 when social media started to really, I guess – become such a thing that everybody loved to do. I just wanted to show that, you know, there are all these transitions that our bodies go through, and being authentic and showing my authenticity through my post to show people, hey, yes, I am a trainer and I do have a lot of background, but hey, I'm a human, I'm a real person. So I'm also going through this as well with you. Might not be in the same steps as you go through, but I have my days where I show that I'm fully confident, and then other days where I struggle and I don't feel confident.
Still?
Still, to this day.
How long have you been working out hard?
I've been licensed for about 10 plus years, but fitness as a whole has been a part of me since I was very young.
You play sports?
I did.
What'd you play?
I played soccer, softball, lacrosse, field hockey.
Lacrosse?
Yeah.
Lacrosse is war.
Yeah, I know. I got my ass kicked a lot.
Did you really?
Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed
you
to
can
curse.
You can okay. curse, absolutely. Okay. It's encouraged.
Okay, awesome.
You got your ass kicked a lot?
Yeah, I'm 5 feet. I was always 90 pounds soaking wet. So
wow.
I had my ass handed to me.
So why play lacrosse if you know you're going to get the shit kicked out of you?
Because I love a challenge.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Do you don't play anything now, though?
I for many years after high school, I played college soccer. And then it turned into
– which is rough, too, but not as rough.
You know, it was 5 a.m. We had to wake up, run on the beach, do some sort of workout.
Where'd you go to school that you're on a beach?
I went to Manhattanville.
Oh.
So we used to run to Rye Beach a lot.
Nice.
Or we would have to wake up as a team early. First thing, there goes your phone. And
yep. That may actually be screws over us. We're in construction, and sometimes I cut it out when we edit it, but sometimes mm-hmm. you can hear that coming through the roof. So. But you're safe. Don't
yeah, no, I'm not worried. So we would wake up, even off season, as a team, and we'd work out. So just being in that strength building phase. I saw what it did for my body
right.
at such a young age. So it just, I just loved it. And I just was continuing with doing that.
See, that's not my phone. are you, what's the best shape you've ever been in now?
I would like to say, I go through phases. So some parts of the year, some months out of the year, I like to be in better shape than others, you know.
Summer?
Summertime, obviously. So in the winter, I like to kind of be in that hibernating phase where it's like I'm not really focused on cutting fat or because I'm not doing competitions. So I don't really look at it as like I have to be healthy.
Did you ever?
No.
No.
No. I don't. I saw what it did to friends of mine and clients of mine mentally and physically.
What did it do?
It gave you such a bad, like, people who are in that competition mindset, it just gives them such a bad relationship with food. And it gives you, it's mentally, it's just draining. But people love it. People do it. It's not for everybody. But for the people who enjoy it, power to you. But for me, I knew what it did to people around me. So I said, I'm not going to put myself in that situation.
That relationship with food thing is tricky because I lost, at Lifetime, I lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was a lot of working out, but you can't work 50 pounds off no matter what you do. You got to change your diet.
Yeah.
And I changed my diet like radically. And for a while there, I got, you know what keto flu is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got keto flu. I didn't know it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Julie. I go, Julie, I'm like so sick. And she's like, yeah, try a piece of rice, a grain of rice just once. Mm-hmm. Introduce it. But that's so but I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. So when you go into these fad diets, like keto diets, intermittent fasting, it's when you come off these certain phases, when you're getting off these diets, I hate using the word diets, but when you get off these diets, your body kind of goes into that flu-like symptoms.
Yeah,
it's like,
man.
Holy shit, what is happening?
Yep.
So that's why, you know, I don't necessarily recommend any of those quick and fad diets. Why? Because your body, it's a longevity thing. So you need to slowly introduce anything, whether it's fitness related or nutrition, you got to give your body time to adjust because the long term, the longer it takes to get to your goals, the better it's going to maintain, better it's going to stay.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, as a fitness professional, me, let alone all my coworkers and anyone I've been around, we never recommend, depending on obviously physically, like if it's doctor, like you have to for, you know, for health reasons,
right.
that's a different story. But if you're someone who just wants to lose 20 pounds, I wouldn't recommend going on those fast diets. I would recommend you just really honing in on a day-to-day basis. What is it you're eating? Habits. What are some unhealthy habits? Even if it's something as having a cup of M&Ms or whatever it is, whatever that unhealthy habit is, you have to focus on that and start realizing why are you eating that? Why are you doing that to your body?
Why do you hate yourself?
Why do you hate yourself that much to do that to yourself? So
you know what Duncan told me to do, and it worked. He said, "Don't eat any products. Nothing no products.
Yeah.
If it's been processed at
all. No processed
all,
food. Yeah.
Nothing. Dude, if you have to open a box to get at it, don't eat it. If you and that really worked.
Yeah. No, it's true.
And what I found too was, if you start eating that way, and don't worry, the thing I think throws most people off about figuring out what they're going to eat is portion control.
Yes.
But if you eat that way, if you don't eat processed food and you don't worry about portion control, eventually you just start eating less and less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, your biggest worry about diet actually becomes the thing you least think about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that – I'm on?
Yes, you are. And that's why we always that's why we always recommend to kind of really focus on it as a longevity goal, not a fast short-term goal.
Right.
More of a, hey, let's change your lifestyle so that in terms of – in terms of your goal, you will get there. And
right.
when you get there, it's going to be that much more rewarding and you're going to feel better about it because now you're not going to, you know, essentially lose all that you've worked hard to get to because
right.
it's more of a long-term goal. And Duncan is right. And he's one of the smartest guys I've ever, he's my boss, you know,
he's, right.
I've learned a lot from him, and I used to work with him in Harrison. He was my boss in Harrison.
Oh, really?
Like 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and a lot of the things that he prepped me or coached me on years prior, I still apply to on a daily basis. So,
right. You
know, anything processed, and it's unfortunate in this world nowadays, everything is pretty much processed.
Right.
And obesity is such a, it's a common denominator. I feel like a lot of people, if not everybody, is obese, and it's because of the processed foods.
I have a theory.
What's that?
My theory is, so the only thing more prevalent than obesity is depression, mental illness.
Mental illness, absolutely.
And
they go hand in hand.
They do. And I think, and that's one of the things that struck me about like your post and your vulnerability.
Yes.
Is I think we need to stop pushing, I think we need to stop pushing exercise and any sort of fitness regimen as a physical benefit first, and push it more as a for the mental benefits. And
I agree.
You strike me as somebody who's been sad and aren't anymore.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
No,
sometimes.
I mean, right. It's yeah. Up and down, but you strike me as somebody that had a period.
Yeah, I mean, I had a brain tumor at a really young age, and because of that, kind of inhibited a lot of things in life. I have short-term memory loss. I'm dyslexic.
I'm John.
Really? Yes. I forgot it for a second. So, you know, I was 1996.
Did you have an operation?
Yeah, I had a huge operation.
Holy cow.
I have a scar from the top of my head to the bottom of my neck.
But you have gorgeous hair, so who cares?
I've definitely have been struggling with my hair because of COVID hair loss, but it's there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have two bald spots in the back of my head where I had my radiation done.
Oh.
Yeah, so because of...
And you had radiation at 5?
I had radiation, yeah. And it was because of where the tumor was located on my brainstem, I had to go through this extensive radiation. And being that I was so young, they had to kind of shorten the bouts and just kind of stretch it out as long as they can. But because of that, it destroyed me growing up. So, like,
sure.
I had to learn how to do a lot of things. I had to, you know, when it came to school and education, I had to be taken out and go in these resource rooms for extra help because I just, for some reason, I can know, say I'm taking a test and it's about fitness. You know, I know everything there is to know about fitness to in order to pass your exam, I still will fail it. It's something that when I'm there, it's just my brain just rewires it. I've struggled my whole life, let's just say. And I've gone through in and out of depressions and so on and so forth, trying to, you know, I was really hard on myself. But then I have to really think about, why am I here? You know, my brain went through so much trauma at such a young age that now as an adult, you know, yes, I've had to rewire myself in a million different ways. But yeah, it's just sometimes I go into those depression mode. I can't control it. But what helps me is fitness.
Right.
Which is why this is, besides my family, this is my whole life.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wait, go back to 5, because you know the Trish story, right?
Yes.
Okay. That radiation was at 49. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how she did. How did you get – did they make – was it a mask and that type of thing?
Yep.
And you lay down on the table and they –
To be honest, I don't really have that much memory
Good.
At that time.
Good.
Which my doctor, who passed away from COVID back in March of 2020, he was still practicing, I would have to go every 2 years and every 5 years for checkups.
Right.
And he used to say to me all the time, you have no idea how lucky you are, because the amount of children who have gone through this similar surgery have now dealt with trauma and have to carry that on through their whole life.
That's the hardest part of it, is once the physical clears up, you're left with
the memory of it. And I do have in and out of some memories of it, and some of them actually happened, whereas my mother was like, that never happened, Selena. But for some reason, my brain just wants to create this story. So for me, it's a happy story. So I'm going to just
live it.
I'm just going to live it. But yeah, it's definitely been a struggle my whole life.
Were you dyslexic before it?
No.
Oh, wow. And you, so how does, for Do you know my story about I was crazy and
no?
Oh, okay. 30 seconds. Sorry, but you guys can fast forward. I'm going to tell it like 45 seconds. I was batshit crazy. Like,
okay.
In my underwear, hunting aliens, crazy. Got medicated for 7 different disorders.
Okay.
The medications counterindicated. One of them was lithium. I got lithium toxic, and I was suicidal. And what lithium toxic means is it actually starts turning into poison.
Yeah.
So so the drug that I was taking not to kill myself was actually killing me. So, and I was off the charts crazy. Not like loony bin crazy, but off, like I thought, like my family would leave and I would sit on the staircase with a BB gun waiting for aliens to come. Crazy.
When was this?
This was like 8-9 years ago.
Okay.
And so finally, I said, you know, I could feel like I'm physically dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to everybody in my life, I'm like, I got to go off the medication. And what do you say to a crazy person when they say, I'm going off my med? You say, you're crazy. And everybody did. And everybody's like, I don't want to be here for this shit show. Everybody walked except my daughter, who was then 7. So me and my daughter were in a house for a summer and I detoxed off of everything. And it was hell. It was, I had to, like, to preserve the furniture, I had to wrap myself in towels when I sat and just change the towels, like, every half hour. And there was a bucket by me for a month. And it was just so goddamn bad.
Yeah.
And, but at the end of it, but I got through it. And then at the end of it, I said, all right, just because I'm not taking the pills anymore doesn't mean I'm crazy. I dealt with one problem, but I still got to deal with the crazy problem. So what I did is I developed this regimen where I get up at 3:00,
routine.
I handwrite 3 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be, just, but it has to be handwritten. I meditate for 20 to 40 minutes, and then I just don't make stupid decisions that day. And exercise was the other part.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm so keen on talking to people like you who have benefited
from the exercise.
Combated depression.
Yeah.
With exercise. Can you describe how it helps?
So depending on the person, obviously it's going to change. But for me, it helped me feeling more confident in myself. You know, I come from a family where my family's tall. My brothers are 6'4". My sisters are...
That's funny.
From having this tumor.
Have you done Ancestry DNA? Is there a question
mark?
I have.
And my mom and I are twins. And my older brother and I are very... We look so much alike.
Oh, okay.
What stopped my growth was my tumor.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, it just...
But it didn't... I mean, how do I say this? You don't look like your growth was stunted. Like, you look
my
like you're supposed...
My legs are a little longer than they should be for my torso, apparently, my doctor said.
Nobody sees that at all.
But they also told me I couldn't have kids, and here we are.
Here we are.
I have 2 beautiful kids,
right,
you
right.
know. So...
You're a smoke show. Don't ignore the doctors. They are dead wrong.
Yeah. So, you know, yes, I proved a lot of doctors wrong in a lot of cases. I'm also really picky with who I choose to be my doctor.
Right.
I've gone through a lot of series of different doctors. But going back to the fitness aspect, you know, I noticed that, you know, pre and postnatal, you know, before, you know, during the kids phase, you know, mentally my...
And you weren't supposed to have kids at all.
Apparently. One doctor said to me once that, you know, your ability to have kids are 0 to none. Like, you cannot...
From a brain tumor.
Which made no sense to me. I'm not a doctor. I have no background in the medical field.
Right, but still.
It just, of course, that being that she was my doctor, I believed her.
Right.
So in my head, I'm like, I can't have kids, so it is what it is. But sure enough, met my husband 3 months later, found I was pregnant.
Well.
And then we got engaged, got married, and had our daughter a year later.
Right.
Here we are.
But it worked out.
It worked out. But I noticed.
Were you scared when it was like 3 months and you didn't know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now I got to bet on
my
this
husband
dude.
Was the first one, like, we're going to keep her. Like, before me, he was like, I'm ready for this. Let's do it. And I'm like.
But that's 90 days in.
90 days in.
I have stuff in my refrigerator that's older than 90.
Yes. So it was definitely in. I come from a very strong religious Italian family.
Okay.
So it was definitely.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was definitely a shocker on both sides. My mother and my parents are divorced, so it was a shocker for my father and my mother because I was your difficult child. In a sense, like, I didn't let anybody control my life. You know, I ran the world.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good and bad, depending on the situation.
You're probably good at running the world.
I don't know. Some might agree. Some may probably won't. But
and so wait, so you're
it is not, a lot.
You're 3 months.
3 months knowing my boyfriend.
Knowing your boyfriend. Who wasn't your boyfriend for the...
We were barely living together. Like, I was just sleeping at his house.
Right.
And then here we are at the meet. I met his sister first, and then I had to start meeting his family. And it was
and
just,
you met them pregnant.
I did.
Did they know?
They knew because my husband has a really good relationship with his family,
that's
which
great.
Is great. Yeah. So that's... was, you know, there was a lot about him that I admired from the beginning. He had
right.
a career. He was just a nice person. You know, when you meet someone initially, you just know.
Yes.
And it's true. I know it's kind of silly. Some people understand. Some people don't. It's when you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. And I was in a prior relationship beforehand. So I had no intentions of finding a boyfriend even so. And then
right.
here we are.
Wow.
Having a baby.
That's beautiful.
So,
you're so right with that. You know, you know.
You know, you know, you know.
When Trish and I first talked on the phone, it wasn't even – it was about business. It wasn't even about, like, a thing. And I remember writing – I kept a paper. This is so long ago. Everybody had, like, paper calendars.
I still have my paper calendar.
God bless you. We'll touch on that, too. and I remember writing my paper calendar, this is trouble, because I just knew. I'm like, ah, oh, crap, here we go. So you're right. So anyway, so now you're 9 days pregnant. You're meeting everybody pregnant.
Meeting all his friends, you know. And I was, you know, he's a police officer.
Okay.
And so when I'm here meeting all his friends and the wives, of course, I was a little intimidated at first.
Right.
Being that I'm this short little 5 foot Italian tiger, I was a little intimidated.
I was
going to
say, you're short, 5 foot eight, A, isn't that short, and B, you're ripped, so who cares how tall you are?
Well, at the end of the day, I was just, it was
mentally.
I guess it was, yeah, it was just a lot for me to take in. And plus, now my body's going through all this hormonally. And it was just a lot.
So did you have postpartum depression?
I did with my second, not my first.
Okay.
Or at least I didn't notice it with my first. I was still young. I was only 24.
Okay.
24, 25. Around that age. I don't keep track anymore.
Me either.
So, you know, we went and told my father that Easter. And then my father told my husband, hey, you better marry my daughter. Like, here, I gave you my blessing, basically.
Right.
He's like, I love you. You know, you seem like a really nice guy. So then sure enough, I guess my husband took it to heart and he was like, all right, we're going to Disney in a month. Let me propose then, which he did. And my favorite ride, he remembered when I told him how I love Peter Pan.
Right.
He proposed on the ride and
okay,
I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is this?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And it was probably the best day of my life. And then I call my best friend. I call my mom. They're like, he finally did it. I'm like, what do you mean he finally did it?
Finally did it.
Everybody knew he was doing it.
Right.
But he didn't know when. So it, honestly, it's the way that it happened is not your average, you know, I guess nowadays nothing's average anymore. Nothing's old. Everything happens the way it's supposed to happen.
Right.
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 So then, you know, we get married. We have our wedding in July of that year. So I planned our whole wedding within 5 weeks, I want to say.
I would bet that.
Wedding dress.
I can see that.
Venue, limousine driver. I also do hair. I'm licensed to do hair.
Okay.
20 years.
What do you think?
I just don't do men's hair.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So I did my whole wedding party.
Oh, wow.
And with my mother's help.
Right.
And then my sister-in-law, my husband's sister, does makeup. So she did my makeup for the day. And then it was just, it was such like a whirlwind of a day. And it would, and also, I had to be sober for our wedding because I was pregnant.
Right, right.
So, you know, I was able to really ingest the day and just appreciate it.
However, the day and not the booze.
Yes. However, you know, with my memory loss that I struggle with, there's a lot of things I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I don't want to. It's just I physically can't. It's
right.
just it gets stored in some part of my brain that I just can't reach.
What's that like? Like when you say short-term memory loss, like you'll...
It sucks.
But like you can't remember Wednesday or you can't remember facts or all of the above.
It's scattered. So this is why.
So how do you compensate?
I write everything down.
Okay.
And if I don't write things down, I will not remember, which is weird. I do remember certain things, you know, growing up. Like sometimes my friends will be like, you remember this? You remember that? And they're like, no, I don't remember that. How do you remember that? But that also is my brain playing tricks on me. Sometimes I remember things that actually happened. sometimes I remember them a little twisted.
Okay.
And sometimes.
Which, by the way, so I mean, everybody.
Yes. So it is common. And it's just.
Not common, but I mean, like, memory itself, nobody remembers anything.
To the T.
Right.
Yes. So.
But
you
for
know,
you, it's exaggerated.
Yeah. Sometimes I can't control and I can't tell the difference. So when you had posted yesterday about a marble notebook, I laughed because I have five at my house. I have two mini spiral marble notebooks in my bag in the car.
Yeah, man.
I write my workouts on there. I write my clients' workouts on there. I write like my nutrition on there. I write like if I'm thinking something random of the day. Because God forbid I forget it, I write it down.
Right. And then you've trained yourself to go back to your notebooks.
Yeah.
So you know what's amazing about that is, like, you're younger than me. I've been doing this. I was doing the notebook thing for forever. The notebook thing wasn't because I went crazy. The notebook thing is just a thing.
Just a thing. I get it.
And then I found out. This is crazy. So, you know, do you know my ancestry DNA story?
No, I don't.
Oh, dude. So I'm a 60-year-old man. Trish, for Christmas this year, gives me ancestry DNA. I was an orphan and in the foster care system. And
oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Got adopted, yeah. And so she gives me ancestry DNA, and she's like, it's time. I'm like, okay. I take the thing, right? And I find out I've met some of them. I have, like, two of the most amazing sisters on the planet.
Aww.
And so I post that thing about, like, I don't get how people live without composition notebooks. And a really close friend of my sister's writes, John, your sister does the five composition notebook thing too.
No way.
Yeah,
how
and has
funny is
isn't
that?
That crazy?
That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Do you but what I was gonna say is, do you keep them all?
I do.
Good, you should, because I will tell you this. I can go back now and look at, like, the last 30 years of my life and have more reference and a better memory of it. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just jotting down Doctor at 11 or whatever the fuck you're jotting down. Like, and when I pass that to my daughter, she's going to know what was going on in my head for almost my whole adult life.
Yeah.
That's an amazing benefit. So the writing thing, even if, look, my head's whacked, your head's whacked, but even if your head isn't whacked, it still benefits.
No, it is. And it's funny because, you know, I have all of my workouts I've ever wrote for clients. Everything.
Oh.
I have a book where I wrote every single workout for every single muscle group.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
So it's not like a diary where I write like, hey, today, like, I saw a bird. It's more of like exercises.
Sorry.
It's more of like, I don't know. I'm not like a musical person like you. I'm not I don't know how to, I can't write, formulate poems. No matter how hard I try,
Do you try?
I've tried. It's just not.
I bet you could.
I don't know. Like, I feel like when I rhyme, it sounds like a
don't worry about
kindergarten
rhyming.
Book.
Don't worry about rhyming. Just write.
Really?
Yeah. Don't worry about rhyming. It's the key to lyrics is to not worry about rhyming. I bet, just my vibe off of your brain, I bet you would write beautiful poetry.
Oh, God.
And if you wrote something, I will put it to music because I bet it's a vibe about you, but I'm usually right. I bet you think beautiful things that should be recorded.
I mean, I do catch myself speaking to myself. I don't know if you do this. Sometimes I'm in the car. I won't play music. And then I'll just start talking to myself as if I'm having a conversation with somebody else. I don't know why I did it on my way up here. It was about like the gym when I worked out yesterday. Like, oh, why did I do that? Oh, maybe I did that. I don't know why I do that, but
I bet I know why.
It's so bizarre. And then I'll be like, then all of a sudden, boop, clarity. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Here's why I think you're creative. And you should really take a run at this. Part of the function of writing everything down or first off, the writing everything down thing that, you know, you think I have to do it because I don't have, you probably have access to more information about your past than somebody who doesn't have an impaired memory does because it's all there.
Yeah.
So you probably, at the end of the day, have a better memory than everybody else because you can go get it. I'm never going to be able to get where I was October 17th, 2012, or what my workout was. You can go get it.
Yes.
So you have access to more information than somebody who's just relying on their memory does. So fucking paired memory. That's it.
Yeah.
B, what happens when you write, I think, is, you know the artist's way? You ever hear the artist's way?
Possibly.
There's no reason why you would have. Okay. You can fast forward. I know you've heard this before. The Artist's Way is a book written by this woman, and it's about like turning on your creative, getting your creative juices flowing. And she does this thing called the morning pages, where you write for write 300 pages every day, first thing when you get up. Doesn't have to be a you can write the word watermelon if you want, but it's 300 pages. But what it does is it gets your brain
stimulated,
oriented towards putting out instead of taking in.
Okay.
So, whereas, because you're, and with you, all the writing that you do, your brain gets oriented towards putting out, which is why you have these conversations with yourself, mm-hmm. because you're used to, you're putting out instead of, you don't, I'd rather talk myself through yesterday's workout than listen to the radio, because my brain is geared towards output instead of input. Mm-hmm. Now.
Makes sense.
Just write a poem. I bet it's beautiful. And don't worry about rhyming. Rhymes will help.
Fitness.
Yeah, fine. Do that.
You know, fitness has just taken over my life. And, you know, yes, I love hair. I've done hair. I specialize in blowouts and styles. My mother owns a salon. My sister-in-law owns a blowout bar.
Plug the salon.
What happened?
Plug your mother's salon.
Oh, Sue's Hair Place in Harrison.
There we
go. She's been there for 47 years.
Hi,
my
Sue.
Mother is the goat.
The goat.
She is. She really is. She actually taught me a lot that I know about hair. But then I've had to teach an old dog some new tricks. I have to teach her how to blow dry and stuff like that. But, yeah, I've done that for so long. And then I started kind of progressing with my fitness when I just noticed that I was good at it.
Right.
And I had friends that would reach out to me like, hey, I really want to grow my glutes. Like, what workouts can I do? And this is when I was still dipping my toes in this, like professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always at the gym. I made sure I was at the gym every evening at 4:30 p.m. First it was Planet Fitness and it was LA Fitness. So it was never Lifetime. And it just, I noticed that
Lifetime's not for beginners.
I mean, no. Right? I mean, it,
no, it is.
It is or isn't. It depends on what, like, it financially, obviously.
Right.
But hey, if you go, you get your money's worth.
You are.
I say that to everyone. Yes. Don't look at, think of like Costco. You go to Costco and you buy all these items. And yes, they're 4 or 5 times more than you would spend at ShopRite. But think about longevity. You're getting more out of it. So same thing with Lifetime. That's how I like to compare it.
I agree.
I don't know why. It just, it works in my brain.
It works in mine too.
But, you know, if we're going back to why I use fitness to a mental outlet, you know, to kind of help me with, I don't feel like I am depressed. I feel like I definitely get in my head sometimes, as everybody does. And to really, I guess, pull me out of those negative mindset is fitness. I love the feeling of exercise. I love the feeling, you know, you never go into come out of a workout hating that you went in, you worked out, right?
That's a great line. That's true.
You never regret working out. You never do. And, you know, I've always used that to the T. You know, even if I am not in the mood or if I'm not feeling good or if I'm just not having it, I go work out and I come out feeling 10 times better.
That's a great line. Yeah. That is true. You never regret.
No, you never do.
What I think, tell me if you agree with this. So there's things that are harder for you to do,
mm-hmm.
and there's things that are harder for me to do. When you exercise, I don't know the physiology of it at all, mm-hmm. but I know what goes on in my head.
Yeah.
When I exercise, and you progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I did something today that I couldn't do a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm getting choked up. And I think, okay, I did something I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I can do something that I couldn't do at Lifetime, maybe I can do something that I couldn't do at work. Or maybe I can do something that I couldn't do with my family. Or maybe I can write a song that I didn't think I could write. Or do a better show.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't think that's, I don't think you go into exercise thinking that, mm-hmm. but it happens. Does that make sense?
So, I mean, a lot of the people I deal with on a regular basis kind of come to me with different goals in mind. Some want to feel better. Some people want to look better. Some members want to, you know, I guess, reach their goals. But their goals could go from as simple as lose 5 pounds or lose 10% body fat or whatever the case may be. But So it depends on the goal. So usually when you approach and you reach that goal, that's when that confidence starts to kick in. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, I could do this. Let's go to the next goal. Or you know what? Let's apply this to everyday life. If I could do this here, I could do that somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or I could do this there. So yeah, a lot of the things I focus on, on the fitness floor is functionality. Everything that we do in my sessions, you can apply to everyday life. So as far as deadlifting, picking up grocery bags,
right,
squatting, getting in and out of a car confidently. So a lot of the Aurora members or clients that I see, you know, the older, we do focus on functionality style training, which apply to everyday life.
I thought you were going to say which applies to you.
No.
I got called out to be an Aurora the other day.
No.
I did. I'm like, someday.
I think it's in a 65. I think you got some
years. No, it's 55.
Oh, sugar.
Yeah, man. And I don't have that many years at 65 either.
Oh, my God.
But no, I got called out the other day. And forget what class. Oh, I know. So Julie teaches like this glue class.
Yeah.
And
it's a hard class.
I never, on my best day ever, never had glutes. And I'm just genetically not, my DNA is weak in the glutes. I remember walking out of there and I saw Dylan and.
Well, Dylan.
Well, I know he's an animal, but he's the one who trained me to get the 50 pounds off and one, absolutely one of my best friends. So I walk up to him, I go, dude, am I ever going to get good at glutes? And he goes, no.
Thanks for the honesty, Dill.
Yeah, no, but it was good. And then I walked past that chair yoga. I walked back and they're doing chair yoga. And I'm like, that doesn't look too bad, man. Yeah. But I'm not there. But the other – not there yet. But the other thing I think that happens is because you're right. A big part of it is confidence. But what I think turns people off, and you tell me if you think I'm right. I think people – so I'm overweight, and I'm going to have to work out and make radical changes, or I'm out of shape, and I'm going to have to work out, and I'm going to have to do it, you know. There's a tension between, you know, the argument that like, well, yeah, do it slowly over the course of a year. It's impossible to stay motivated over the course of a year if you're not seeing results. And if you – so – So there's a tension between the length of time that you should do something versus what you need to do if you if you want to see like a fast result. And when I don't do it anymore, but when I taught guitar, I would say, listen, I'm not going to teach you how to play guitar. Give me a song that you're dying to know how to play, and I'm going to teach you how to play that song on a guitar. And then you're going to fall in love. And now you're going to want to learn the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think – so there's a tension between that philosophy and fitness, right? The idea mm-hmm. that, you know, you want to see a relationship a result fast so that you can stay motivated.
Yep.
So what I think throws people off is if you want to see a result fast, you're going to have to go harder. And if you think, all right, this is – I have to do this for the rest of my life. My experience is it's way easier to maintain than it is to lose. Like once you get there, you don't have to do what you did to get there. So don't think, okay, if I want to drop 3.5 pounds a week and I'm going to need to be in the gym for an hour a day, 6 days a week. I'm making that up. You know better than me. To a lot of people, that's daunting.
Yes.
But my response would be, you have to do that until you hit your goal. Once you hit your goal, A, then working out is more fun because you can do stuff. So you want to go there 6 days a week. But B, to maintain what you have, whatever that is in your goal, that's not as hard as what it took to get there.
Yes.
Agree? Disagree?
I mean, fitness as a whole has evolved. So where it was 10 years ago, it's definitely not where it's definitely changed a lot. So depending on the person, depending on the goal, if we're just talking about a generic person, let's say. What I always have them do is start with short-term goals.
Mm.
Let's start with, hey, let's get 4 days in the gym, okay? Once we've reached that goal, okay, let's do, you know, an hour of an exercise, not 30 minutes. So I start with these short-term goals, small goals, so that confidence.
That's the same principle.
Continues.
Yep.
And,
right.
You know, it kind of builds that self-esteem, not thinking of it as like a short-term and yes, as a long term, but if you fixate on the, oh, I got to do this for the rest of my life, instead of, oh, you know what? I'm lucky I get to do this for the rest of my life. Or, hey, I'm lucky that I can get to go to the gym this week. Because, you know, usually that's, some weeks are tough. And
that's a hard sell, though. To say to somebody, like, you know, listen, the way you have to shift your head around to look at this
the
as
mindset.
A privilege. It is a mindset. It, what I, my opinion is, and tell me if you agree or disagree, my opinion is your short-term goal strategy is brilliant.
Yes.
Because it would, you don't have to foster that mindset. You're going to inherit it.
Yes.
If you get to the gym 4 days a week, 3 weeks in a row, and you've made a habit, you're reflexively, that's the way the human mind works. You're going to reflexively want to go.
Yeah.
4 days
exactly.
On week four.
100%.
And then it's going to be a privilege and a blessing to go there. So that's why I think your short-term goal thing is brilliant. Because you don't even have to work your mind. It'll happen.
You're training your mind. So there's clients that come in that are as young as 30s, just had kids. Wonderful. And then I had a client yesterday who was having a double knee replacement.
Ooh.
So she, for her whole life, was a personal trainer. So for someone to compare, it's night and day. So it depends on the person of how I will swing the conversation. And it's not that I'm here to convince people other than what they – I'm here to kind of shift their mindset into thinking, hey, you know what? Let's start with these short-term goals, okay? Because the more you do, the more it's going to invest in your mind and the less you're going to have to actually – physically do. It's just going to be a part of who you are.
Right.
And that's kind of where, as a fitness professional, we like for you to be, or just anybody, because fitness shouldn't be hard.
Right.
It's not hard. And it looks different than everybody. That's why I don't like this whole influencer platform, social media, because a lot of things you see is not what it is. So for me, for instance, why I put, I don't know if you saw my story the other day where I posted three photos of myself. Guess my weight, guess my body fat percentage, and guess my height.
Right.
People were putting 112 pounds in weight. I'm 118 pounds. People were putting 12% body fat. I'm 20% body fat. And then some people put 5'6". No, I'm 5 feet. I might come off 5'6", but I'm 5 feet.
You do come off 5'6".
Everybody says that. So, you know, social media isn't what meets the – it's just perceived in such a different way. And that's why I try to show my vulnerability through all my posts. You know, if I have some belly fat or if I have some – I'm going to show you. If I have under eye bags because, you know, it's hereditary in my family. And no matter how much Botox or filler I get – not that I get filler. I get Botox though. But no matter how much aesthetically what I do for my body, it's this is who I am.
Right.
And I'm not going to use a filter to kind of filter out who I am.
Right. Well, as someone on the other side who get benefits from what a trainer does, honesty, like Dylan telling me, no, you're never going to get
honesty.
You're never going to get gigglesome. Now I trust you.
Yeah.
And I had it was funny. I had a conversation with him one time because so if you're listening, Dylan Arnold is a trainer. I worked out with him for like a year and he helped me lose 50 pounds.
He's one of the best trainers I've ever met.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. Dylan is very smart, very knowledgeable. He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff deep. And he, one day, but he posts these incredible videos.
Yes, he does.
Because he's also a freak. And he can do
he's crazy. He's a kid. He's young.
He is
he's
young.
He's crazy. He's
yeah.
got a lot of stamina. He's young.
And he's doing this stuff and I'm like, I can't do that. And he's like, I can't play guitar, man. We all have stuff
exactly.
we can't do, but you be inspired and move towards it. Are your kids into fitness?
So my daughter loves dance. So she's
Ruh-roh.
She's into fitness.
How much money do you have?
Well, believe it or not, the dance school we have her in is very inexpensive and it's a great dance school. So
fantastic.
Yeah, thank God.
Don't say it on air, but I bet I know which one it is. Is it in Pleasantville?
No, it's in Yorktown.
Oh, okay.
Carissa's house, Dance of House Movement. It's fantastic.
Oh, I don't know. Okay,
I
good.
Love it.
Awesome.
And then my son definitely has ADHD. So
okay.
he just started kindergarten. So we're just kind of figuring out his voice as far as like, what do we think? I want him in sports. I want him in soccer, football even, because he needs to lay out some of that aggression. And he loves running. So we were thinking running back or...
Has he been clinically diagnosed or is that just...
He is diagnosed by his pediatrician, not
okay.
by a neurologist.
Okay.
But you can just tell, you know, I have ADD. But I could just tell, you know, like you could just, you know, it's hard to explain, but I noticed with him at a really young age.
What do you think of the school of thought?
Oh, please. I'm already fighting with Lakeland. I'm already.
No, not school, school, just school of thought.
Oh, school of thought. Yeah. Oh, okay.
What do you, no, because we can go down the services road too, because I have opinions about that. Trish is a third grade teacher, so I'm going to get in trouble starting, but I'm willing to. What do you think of the school of thought that nobody has ADD? It's where it's just that when you're involved with stuff that doesn't connect with you, you could work out for an hour and a half and not get distracted. So, or an hour, you could work out for an hour and not get distracted, question mark.
I always get distracted.
You do? Okay, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm always distracted. And it depends. Obviously, if I'm driving, I don't get distracted. But when I'm working out, I'm always distracted.
Right.
You know, it's hard working out at a place where you work. That's number one.
Right.
I'm always getting interrupted. And not interrupted in a negative way. It's more of like, hey, why did you do that? Or, hey, can you help me? In the middle of my workout the other day, a member approached me, asked me how to work out his triceps. Mind you, his arms are as big as my head. So I helped him.
Right.
That's my job.
That's your job.
Even though I wasn't in clothes, I don't even know if he knew I worked there or he just approached me because I looked like I knew what I was doing.
Right.
I have no idea what the purpose behind it was. So I helped him. And, you know, boom, there goes 15 minutes of my workout because I had to sit and help him.
That makes sense.
This member was struggling how to put a band attached to the jungle gym thing. So I stopped and I helped that gentleman.
Right.
So, and then this lady couldn't figure out how to turn on the Stairmaster. So I saw her from across the room. I was at the dumbbells and I saw her struggling. So I walked across. So getting distracted, it is a choice at the end of the day.
Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not.
I think if I really just sat there and just let these people struggle, I just wouldn't feel good about myself.
You meditate?
I've tried. I have sleep insomnia. So I try to do it before bed. It's just my brain is just overstimulated all day long. So it just doesn't stop.
So one of the things, maybe this is helpful, maybe it isn't. So the idea behind concentration, the way concentration works, as I understand it, I am not a concentration doctor. But as I understand it, concentration works not by focusing on one thing, but by blocking everything else out. So if I want to focus on this pick on the table, I don't the mechanics of it is I don't focus
that
on
makes sense.
My brain doesn't focus on the pick. It just blocks everything else out. So the pick's the only thing left. Right. With depression, you know this, I think. With depression, you are a victim of your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Your thoughts move you and the trick is to get in control is to. You to be able to manage your thinking rather than your thinking manage you.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation, even if you do it for 20 seconds, if you walk away from 20 seconds of meditation, wait, I can move my brain in a particular place. Same thing as exercise. Well, if I can do it for 20 seconds for whatever on a Wednesday, maybe I can do it 25 seconds next Wednesday. And what meditation did for me is it taught me, because I thought some crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me that I can, I am the boss of my thoughts and not the other way around. And so now if there's something I want to pay attention to and I'm thinking, I should do this, but it's not helpful for me, I've learned not to do it because I've learned I can move my head around. Don't meditate to try to sleep. Because they're two different things.
Well, yes, depending on the type of medication. Here we go. Meditating that you do. I did it to help me sleep because I...
Does it work?
It did for a while. I did it because I've been on medication pretty much my whole life. So I was trying to stay away from the medication.
Right.
It only would take it as needed. But the meditation, when it did work, it helped.
Okay.
I would go into this deep sleep, and then I'd wake up, and I'm like, whoa.
I'm going to start texting you every day. Did you meditate? Did you meditate?
No, but I haven't done it. I mean, I did it a lot during the pandemic.
You know what's awesome? Go into the lobby of the yoga studio and just sit there.
I know. It's very quiet.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, no, it definitely has, like, a very positive vibe. No, it is. And sometimes I'll just walk there, and I'm like, oh, this is nice. But when I was going through depression, it was postpartum depression after my second child. Here we are. I had my first, and then here I have my second. And then, my husband has such a high stressful job.
Sure.
So he's always at work, and I'm home. And, I had a really hard day I yelled at the kids and I felt guilty about it. And then I had friends coming from left and right saying, hey, Selena, come over with the kids. And I'm like, I don't want to leave my house. It became that.
Right.
And then when I was clear to exercise, I would exercise. And that is what helped.
Can you describe how it helped?
It helped me in a sense of it was like a relief.
Okay.
When I was going through the postpartum depression, it started actually later on after I had my son. And I don't know what triggered it, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Like, I don't know how or when it started and when it would happen. I don't know what. It was just like a fog that just – it's hard to explain if anyone who has gone through postpartum depression. It's not something you can control. It comes in and out of waves. And, medication, my doctor says, because it's not as consistent, that it's not something I shouldn't be on medication. It's something that I should figure out how to correct on my own. And that's why I just lean towards fitness. I felt like I can control my fitness. I get to say, and that's what it is. At the end of the day, it's all about control.
You can control your body.
Yes. So I had no control over the postpartum depression waves, and whereas I had control here. So whenever I felt like I was going through it, I would burpees. I would just drop and do 20 burpees. I did burpees. My son came out 2 days later. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did burpees when you were pregnant?
Yeah.
How did you not kill him?
I don't know. I was doing pull-ups, burpees, push-ups. I did it all.
You're badass.
Needed to work out. And I was actually at Lifetime as a trainer in Harrison.
Well, that's inspirational.
Yeah. Though. And then I won Trainer of the Month all these months. And I was that girl
at
Lifetime.
Awesome. You are not going to believe this, but it's an hour.
I know.
Oh, God. I'm so frustrated.
I think we got a few more minutes.
Is there any chance I can get you back in here?
Yeah. When were you thinking?
I don't know. I'll do that later because I don't want you to have to tell the whole world your schedule.
So let me see something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where do I find you on social media?
Oh, it's hard to tell you guys. At @hit_them_with_some_ce. Yes.
Hit them with some CE. That's beautiful.
Stayed with me my whole life.
I think you're inspirational, man.
Thank you.
I think it's cool that you
I had so much fun.
I think it's cool that you overcame all that.
Yeah. You too.
I like that. Thank you.
You too. You've gone through some stuff yourself, so
yes, ma'am.
You need to start giving yourself some grace.
I've had that prescription prescribed a lot lately. I'm going to start listening to that.
Yes.
Okay, so this is part one of C, because I'm going to get her back in here next month. I got to get through this lifted project, and then will you come back like maybe next month?
I would love to.
All right, awesome. I'm John. This is home from here.